إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما Amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, of the fundamental beliefs of every single Muslim is that everything happens by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Quran says, not a leaf falls except that Allah knows it and wills it. And therefore, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the things that the Muslim has to always remind himself and herself of is that our affairs are in the hands of Allah, the good and the bad. Anything that happens, Allah has a divine decree, Allah has predestination, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom that we do not understand. Allah says in the Quran, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً We are going to test you with evil and with good. We're going to test you with evil and with good as a fitna, as a trial, and you shall indeed return to us. And therefore, of the types of evil that are prevalent and of the types of calamities that every one of us has to face is that of disease and that of sickness, is that of falling ill. And this is something that the Quran mentions and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions so many ahadith. And this is, subhanAllah, one of the signs of our own mortality, one of the signs of our own humanness, that even the most healthy of humans will fall sick and ill. There is no such thing as a disease-free person. There is no such thing as a person who never falls sick. And in fact, Allah tests even the infants and the elderly. Allah tests men and women. Allah tests every single human being with disease and with sickness. And that is why the Quran and Sunnah tells us some advice, gives us some guidelines, and tells us what to do when we fall sick. And of the things that the Quran tells us to do is to understand that everything happens by the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to not be impatient. Once a man came to Al-Hasan Al-Basri and he said, O Imam Hasan Al-Basri, why is it that we are so impatient? Why can't we be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us? So Al-Hasan Al-Basri said that this impatience comes from a lack of true belief in qadr and understanding divine decree. So the man said, and how can I understand qadr? How can I understand this so that I can be patient? Hasan al-Basri said, understanding this is understanding Allah's names and attributes. Understanding who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you understand Allah's names and attributes, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Hakim, Al-Hakam, when you understand that Allah controls everything, when you understand that Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, then you will understand what is qadr. And when you will understand what is qadr, then you will understand where to get the patience from to overcome the calamities that befall us. And therefore, the believer understands that even in sickness and even in a lack of health, there is great benefit. The famous scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, the famous scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, he wrote a book called Shifa al-Alil, or Curing the Healing, the one who is sick. And in this book, he mentions that there are more than 100 blessings that he could think of for the one who falls sick. Why he falls sick? There is blessings even in falling sick. And this is something that Ibn al-Qayyim then elaborated on, and many of the scholars of the past elaborated upon. And of these blessings, in fact, one of the greatest blessings of falling sick is to appreciate the absence of sickness. Because to appreciate the absence of sickness, i.e. good health, is something that no one takes, no one thinks about, they take for granted until it is deprived of them. And our Prophet ﷺ said, there are two blessings. The majority of mankind have been deceived. They've been shortchanged regarding them. There are two blessings. Most of mankind are oblivious to those blessings. Number one, he said, as-sihha, good health. You don't realize the advantage of good health until you don't have it. And you don't take advantage of your health until you don't have it. So the number one blessing that mankind has been shortchanged, they've cheated themselves. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Two blessings, most of the people, they have deceived themselves. They haven't purchased in. They haven't cashed in on what they have. Number one, he said, الصِّحَّة. And number two, he said, الْفَرَاغ. Which is free time. We don't realize we have free time until time becomes tight upon us. These are two blessings, the greatest two blessings that we don't even appreciate. And once the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, what du'a should I make?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ask Allah for al-afiyah." And al-afiyah means to be saved from sickness and calamity, i.e. status quo for most of us. Ask Allah for afiyah, i.e. to not be tested with sickness and disease and calamity. And so Al-Abbas said, I want more than this. His uncle. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Am, O my uncle, ask Allah for al-afiyah, because there is no blessing that is greater for the son of Adam after faith in Allah than al-afiyah. There is nothing better than al-afiyah, to be safe from disease, to be safe from afflictions, from calamities. And this is afiyah. And this is a safeness that we don't even recognize until it is deprived of us. And therefore, of the greatest blessings of falling sick is to appreciate that which we have. Because until it is taken away, and until we are deprived of something we take for granted, we will never appreciate and thank Allah Azza wa Jal for that. Of the blessings that come about through sickness and calamities and disease is our iman in Allah is tested and reaffirmed. Because if we truly believe in the Quran and we truly believe in the Sunnah, then we will believe it when Allah says that it is possible that you hate something and it is better for you. And it is possible that you love something and it is bad for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. It's possible you hate something, you have karaha for something, but Allah Azza wa Jal will bring about khayran kathira, a lot of good through this. You don't know. So there is a test of iman bil ghayb. Do you believe in Allah and in Allah's wisdom and in Allah's mercy? Or will you reject Allah as many of the people around us when a calamity happens? Oh God, why is this happening to us? We don't deserve this. The Muslim never speaks like this. The Muslim says, Amanna billah. The Muslim says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The Muslim says, Inna lillahi ma a'ta wa lillahi ma akhadh. To Allah belongs the right to give and to take. And whatever He gives, we thank. Whatever He takes, we thank. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is the ultimate Lord. And this is of the blessings that happen when calamities, when sicknesses, when diseases befall us. Of the blessings that occur and come about for the one who is sick, is that the one who is sick will then appreciate those who are permanently sick or disabled. Because the one who is sick will console himself or herself in the fact that this is temporary. So the one who has a headache will realize that, okay, this is temporary. How about those who suffer from continual migraines? The one who has a problem with an arm or a leg and so he cannot use it for a while, all of a sudden it will be rubbed into him that there are people who don't have arms and legs. There are people who don't have eyesight. Suppose you have a sore in your eye and you are bandaged for one eye for a week. You will appreciate how then do those people who don't even have this blessing live. And therefore this brings us to yet another blessing, the blessing of mercy and tenderness. Because to be merciful and to be tender is a great blessing from Allah. The famous hadith comes to mind where the man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he saw the Prophet ﷺ playing with Hassan and Hussein. And he saw the tenderness and he saw the love. And this was a man from the Bedouin. And he thought this a feminine thing to show tenderness, to show mercy. He said this is a feminine thing. And so he said, Wallahi, I have 10 sons. I've never once played with them or kissed them. This is a sign of his manliness apparently. And the Prophet ﷺ replied back, what can I do if Allah has removed mercy from your heart? What can I do if Allah has removed mercy from your heart? So to be tender and to have compassion for people who are afflicted. It is a sign of iman. And therefore, when we are sick and when we ourselves are afflicted with calamities, this brings about that tenderness. That is a very good requirement. Without tenderness and compassion, we will not be merciful to the creation. And our Prophet ﷺ said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. Irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis sama." This is the hadith called the Hadith ar-Rahmah. And it is, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman." Those who are merciful, ar-Rahman will be merciful towards them. Irhamu man fil ardi. Be merciful to those who are on earth, and the one who is in the heavens will be merciful to you. And therefore, the one who is sick appreciates it, and therefore the tenderness and the blessings are increased in that person. Of the blessings of those who fall sick, of the blessings of those who fall sick, is that a sickness is one of the strongest and most powerful antidotes to the sins that we commit. There is hardly anything that will expiate our sins, kafara of our sins, that is more powerful than musibas, than trials and afflictions that befit, that befall us. And this is something that again the Quran and Sunnah is full of. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. Every musibah, and musibah primarily means a sickness and a calamity. Every musibah that befalls you, Allah says, it is because of what you have done. وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. And Allah forgives because of it a lot. Every sickness and calamity that happens, a death of a loved one, a loss of a relative, financial, economic distress, physical hardship, a fever, any type of pain and suffering. And once the Prophet ﷺ said that when he visited a sick person, he said, and this sick person was suffering from a fever. The Prophet ﷺ said, "I have good news for you." He is suffering from a fever, is tossing and turning. He said, "I have good news for you. For verily my Lord has told me." That, and this is in particular reference to a fever, but we can extrapolate to every major disease and sickness, that the fever is, this is Hadith Qudsi, my punishment that I inflict upon my believers so that they don't have to be punished in the hell in the Akhirah. This is a punishment that Allah inflicts so that you are saved from the punishment of the next life. So in fact, it is a blessing in disguise. And so the Prophet ﷺ told the man suffering from fever, "I have good news for you, abshiru. I have good news for you. That this fever means that insha'Allah ta'ala, if you have true faith in Allah, you don't have to face the fire of the next. This is the fire of this world." In one hadith he said, "This is the fire of this world. It will protect you from the fire of the next." And once the Prophet visited the Sahabiyya Umm al-Sa'ib, and Umm al-Sa'ib was also suffering from a fever. She was tossing and turning. And the Prophet ﷺ asked her, "What is the matter?" She said, "I have a severe fever. May Allah curse it." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Do not curse the fever. Do not curse the fever. For verily it forgives sins like a furnace gets rid of the impurities and iron." That when you put an iron into the furnace, it is full of impurities. When you take it out, it is 100% pure. So the Prophet ﷺ compared the fever to a furnace. And this is a very good comparison because both are burning. And he said, "Do not curse the fever because there is much good in it as well." And in another hadith he said that it will get rid of your sins like a tree in the autumn, in the fall. When you shake it, all the leaves come down. So too will the sickness get rid of your sins. And this is something that applies to every single calamity and misfortune. So much so the Prophet ﷺ said, "Even if a thorn pricks one of you, it will expiate some of your sins." And of course, you all know the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith that every one of us should memorize and apply day in and day out. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. That amazing are the affairs of the believers. Wondrous. I am amazed. عَجَب. عَجَبًا. I am amazed. عَجِيب are the affairs of the believer. Because everything that happens to him happens for his good. Everything that happens, happens for his good. If some good happens and he's happy, he thanks Allah. And so that's good for him. If something good happens, he gets a child, he gets a raise in his job, he gets a new house, a new car, he thanks Allah. And when you thank Allah, Allah will give you more. And if some bad happens, then he is patient. And Allah rewards him for that patient. And therefore, the mu'min is always a winner. فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. The mu'min is never a loser, no matter what happens in his or her daily life. No matter what calamity befalls the mu'min will always come out on the upper hand, having won over because he has Allah on his side. And when you have Allah on your side, you don't care what is happening in the rest of humanity. Of the blessings of falling sick, of the blessings of falling ill, is that not only are sins forgiven, but one's ranks are raised up. There are two separate issues here. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala comments on this. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah says that the pain and suffering that the sick person undergoes, or the emotional distress that the one who is in grief suffers, this will forgive his sins. Now when he's patient and he corrects his intention and expects reward from Allah, this will give him good deeds. Two separate elements here. The pain and the suffering forgives the sins. And then when you make your thoughts good towards Allah, and you renew your iman towards Allah, and you expect Allah to reward you, in Arabic called husna dhan billah, you think the best thoughts of Allah. Oh Allah, you are doing this for a wisdom you understand. Oh Allah, I put my trust in you. Oh Allah, I expect you to reward me for this. When you have good thoughts of Allah, that will give you good deeds and raf'u darajat. They will raise your ranks in Jannah. And so the same calamity can have your sins forgiven and it can also raise your ranks in Jannah. Of the blessings of falling sick, of the blessings of suffering from a calamity, is that Allah Azza wa Jal clearly tells us in the Quran that if we truly have faith in Him, whatever He takes away, He will give us better than that. يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ. Whatever He has taken away, if we truly have good faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give us something better and we don't even realize or appreciate that. And this is something, again, the Quran and Sunnah have mentioned in so many verses. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. What is the reward of ihsan except ihsan in return? And we know for a fact that anyone whom Allah takes away one perception, if they are blind or if they are deaf or if any type of calamity happens, subhanAllah, we see that automatically other senses of theirs become much more powerful than the average person. And this is something we find in the creation around us, that never does Allah take something away except that He gives him something better than that. And we learn this throughout the whole Quran, from the story of in Surah Al-Kahf of Khidr, when he killed the child. And he told Musa that Allah wanted this child to go away because he's going to cause suffering to the parents. And Allah wanted a better child in his stead. So the parents suffered pain. But Allah knew that there's a child that would be better than this one. And Allah gave them that better child. Also the story of Yunus alayhi salam, the one slave in the Quran whom we are told, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of Yunus, of Ayyub alayhi salam, the one person whom we are told, Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا is the phrase I'm looking for. That Ayyub, Allah describes him that we found him to be sabir. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ. What a great servant he was because of his patience. The story of Ayyub is well known to you, that for over 10 years, in one riwayah, 18 years, he suffered such diseases and calamities. He lost all of his wealth. He had 10 children. He lost all of them. His body became afflicted with leprosy, with a disease that his friends did not even want to associate with him. He couldn't live in society because society rejected him. And he kept on being patient, expecting Allah to reward him, never once complaining. He never said oof to the pain that he was suffering from. Physical pain, emotional pain, until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed down the cure. And Allah said that urkud birijlik, that kick your leg over here next to the river, and hadha mughtasalun baridun wa sharab, you will be able to take a bath in this river that Allah had created for Ayyub. And after this, Ayyub came out as handsome as he had ever been, so handsome that his wife did not even recognize him. And when she came looking for Ayyub, she said, oh young man, where is my husband Ayyub? I'm looking for him, can you help me find him? And Ayyub said, this is Ayyub, I am Ayyub. And she didn't believe it, and Allah blessed them with double the amount that had been taken away. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions that a hadith, this hadith is in Bukhari, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a cloud that was raining gold upon Ayyub. Literally, gold was falling down upon Ayyub. And Ayyub was gathering this gold. This was after he was cured. And Ayyub was gathering this gold and collecting it in his thawb. And Allah spoke to him through an angel, and Allah said, "O Ayyub, haven't I given you enough that you still want to collect that was fallen on the ground?" And Ayyub alayhi salam responded, "O Allah, yes you have, but who can ever be content with the blessings that you give? I want more and more," right? So the point being, this is the Prophet Ayyub. We know for a fact that Allah literally showered gold upon him after the trials that he underwent, because he was patient for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore, all of these are some of the blessings, are some of the wisdoms that should console us, that will bring about pain, that will ease the pain that we feel. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to understand some of these wisdoms. Before I proceed, if we can ask the people to move up because there's no space in the back. The famous companion, or the famous son of a companion and the brother of a companion, Urwa ibn Zubayr, his father's a companion, his mother's a companion, his uncle's a companion, his brother's a companion, his aunt is the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, because Aisha is his aunt. Urwa ibn Zubayr is one of the legends of early Islam. And there are so many statements of wisdom and hikam coming from Urwa ibn Zubayr. And it is narrated once that Urwa ibn Zubayr was afflicted with cancer in the right leg. And you know, in those days they didn't have pain medication, they didn't have any of these things. And so they had to amputate his leg. And Urwa said to them that, "Okay, amputate my leg, but let me begin my salah. Because once I begin my salah, I concentrate so much, I will forget about the pain." Even though you're supposed to amputate on your back because of the loss of blood. But Urwa wanted his amputation while he is standing in salah, because that was when the concentration would occur. And that's exactly what they did. They amputated his leg while he was praying. And that same evening, as he's recovering at home, one of his children climbed up to the roof of their house and fell from it and died in the accident. The same evening that he lost his leg. And so Urwa said, "Ya Rabb, O my Lord, lakal hamd, all praise is due to you. All praise is due to you. You gave me 7 children and you decided to take one away. And you gave me 4 limbs and you decided to take one away. And I thank you for what you have left. And I thank you for having given it to me and enjoyed it until I enjoyed it." This is what you call trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and patience in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always understanding and realizing that Allah has no obligation upon you, that Allah has no duty to give you everything. Rather, the very fact that He has given you what He has is a reason to thank Him. And the very fact that He then rewards you for pain and suffering, because think about it, we don't deserve to have our wives and children. We haven't earned good health. But the fact that we have it causes us to thank Allah. And then when something is taken away, and we realize that even in this taking away, I will be rewarded. Because Allah does not need to reward us, it's His. What does the Quran tell us? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Everything belongs to Allah. Allah is our owner, our Malik. And the Malik has the right to take whatever he pleases, without any recompense. If you want to take your own money, are you going to pay the bank back? This is your money. If you want to take something from your own account, from your own, this is your right. And so everything that we have belongs to Allah. Allah has no obligation upon us. And yet still, because He is Ar-Rahman, and because He is Al-Wadood, and because He is the all-loving and all-caring and all-merciful, even then when He takes away that which belongs to Him, He rewards us for the pain and suffering. And all of this should increase our iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, and should make us humbled before the majesty and power of Allah, and should make us realize, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, that nothing changes, nor is there any power to do anything except with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Indeed, as one of the Salaf, one of the scholars of the past said, and with this I conclude the first khutbah, as one of the scholars of the past said, that every single time a sickness befalls you or a calamity befalls you, thank Allah for 3 things. Thank Allah for 3 things. Number one, that the calamity was not more severe than it is. Because no matter what has afflicted you, there are people that are less fortunate than you. And this reminds us of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet ﷺ said, hadith is in Bukhari, that look at those who are worse off than you and not those who are better than you. Every time a calamity happens, look at those who are worse off and suffering, and thank Allah that the calamity was not worse. This is number one. Number two, thank Allah for the blessings that are existent that you don't realize and appreciate. Suppose you had a financial loss. How can you ignore that you have health and children? Wallahi, you would give up everything to protect your children. So suppose you lost your job. Suppose you had an accident. Suppose any issue happened. You have other good, always. Because Allah never takes away all good. Allah always, He is Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahim. Whatever He takes, there's always much in replacement. And this reminds us of another famous story of Hasan al-Basri, before I move to number three. And that is that a man came to al-Hasan al-Basri and began complaining about poverty. He said, I don't have any money and I can never have a full meal. How long are we going to suffer like this? Why doesn't Allah give me some money? He's a Bedouin man, he's once harsh. He wants to know, what is the problem? Why can't I get some money? Or why am I so poor? I've been poor for as long as I remember. And al-Hasan al-Basri looked at him up and down and he said, would you sell your arm to gain 100,000 dinars, gold coins? This is literally like $1 million, more than that. So he said, of course not. So he said, would you sell your legs for the same amount? No, of course not. Your eyesight? No. Your good health? No. So he says, I see you're a walking multi-billionaire, but you think you're poor. SubhanAllah. I see you, you have everything that you can desire, but you think you're poor. In other words, al-Hasan al-Basri reminded him that you are neglecting so many blessings Allah has given you, and then you are complaining about dollars and cents. What is the matter with you? That Allah has blessed you so much. Realize those blessings and don't complain about that which others would have been grateful if they have what you have. So the second blessing that we thank Allah for when a musibah happens is that there are plenty of other blessings that we ignore. And the third is that we fully realize that Allah will never test us with more than what we can bear. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And so whatever calamity befalls us, we know that we have enough iman and patience to overcome it if we turn to Allah. Never will Allah place a burden on us that is more than we can bear. And so the third way that we console ourselves when a sickness and calamity happens is we thank Allah that this calamity is within our qadr, our control. That Allah would not give us more than this. And that we are able to, inshaAllah ta'ala, gain reward through it. So once again, the three things that every time a calamity befalls us, we should be thankful for. Number one, the calamity was not worse than it is. Number two, of the many blessings that are not related to the calamity, and that we ignore, but we should be concentrating on and thanking Allah for. And number three, that even this calamity is a blessing in disguise, that if we are turning to Allah and are patient, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for it. Barakallahu wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim, aqulu ma tasma'una wa astaghfiru Allah al-Azim li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Some miscellaneous points about sickness and disease that are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah and that are relevant for a khutbah on this subject. First and foremost, realize that there are two types of sicknesses and disease: مرض البدن and مرض القلب, the sickness of the body and the sickness of the heart. And the Quran mentions the sickness of the heart more than double the amount of time it mentions the sickness of the body. So as we concentrate on the physical sickness, disease and fevers and cancer and this and that, let us remember that there is a disease that is far worse than that. And that is the disease of the heart. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. So many verses in the Quran about the marad of the qalb, the spiritual disease. And once a man came to one of the scholars of the past, and he was a person that was well known to this man, a scholar and a student of knowledge and a worshipper, and he complained of a sickness. And he said, "Thank Allah that your sickness is a sickness of the body and not a sickness of the heart. Thank Allah that it's a trivial sickness and not the real sickness, which is a sickness of the heart." So this is one point to keep in mind. Another point to keep in mind is that the Quran mentions many times in the Quran, physical disease is mentioned almost always in the context of making some laws easier. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمَرْضَى حَرَجْ. There is no sin on those who are sick. And this shows us that in Allah's mercy and in Allah's perfection of His laws, the sick man, his obligations are reduced depending on his sickness. So for example, the obligation to fast. Allah says that if you are sick, then the fasting has been lifted. The obligation to fulfill all of the requirements of ihram, that you're not allowed to shave or cut or clean. Allah says, but if you are sick, then. The obligation even to strive in the way of Allah, when it is fard ayn in certain cases to strive. The Quran says, but those who are sick, there is no junah, there is no sin upon them. And this shows us that the one who is sick has been given a lot of concessions by the Sharia. And this is depending on how severe his sickness is. The Prophet ﷺ said, pray standing if you can. But if you cannot, you're sick, then pray sitting down. And if you cannot even do that, then pray lying down on a side. Whatever is convenient for you. Allah mentions about taking ghusl, that if water cannot touch your body because you are sick, then do tayammum. And so the point being that the Sharia takes into account, the Sharia is a merciful Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah says, I haven't made the religion difficult for you. Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wants to make things easy and doesn't want to make things difficult. Of the miscellaneous factors about sicknesses, is that it is one of the greatest and easiest acts of worship to do, to visit the sick. To visit the sick is something that we are strongly encouraged to do. So much so that in a number of a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that this is one of the rights of the believer upon another believer. One of the obligations, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ. That when he is sick, he visits him. And this is a sickness that obviously is referring to a type of sickness that is a severe fever or a cancer or something of this nature, not a minor affliction, but the point being that this is an easy way to gain ajr and reward, to simply visit the sick person or find out and inquire about his health, because the one who is sick feels dejected, feels desolate, feels alone. And when the one who is sick is then visited, or somebody asks about him, his spirits are lifted up and his mind wanders away from the sickness. And this is the least that we can do for our Muslim brothers and sisters. Those who are sick of your acquaintances and friends, it's a point of your religion to go visit them, to make dua for them. And the final point of miscellaneous benefit that we'll mention with regards to sickness is a beautiful verse in the Quran that Ibrahim alayhi salam says, when he's describing his Lord to the people around him, to his father and the people around him who are idol worshippers. He's describing who is Allah. And he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I fall sick, He is the one who cures me. Notice the iman of Ibrahim. Sickness is coming from me. Cure is coming from Allah. When I fall sick, even though Qadr tells us that the sickness is from Allah and the cure is from Allah, because nothing happens except it is from Allah. But when the way that we speak, it is not proper etiquette to try to say something that might possibly appear to be complaining to Allah. So in the perfection of Ibrahim's Tawheed, he says, it's my fault I fall sick. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. Any musibah, it's from me. Any problem that happens, I blame myself for it. That's what the Quran tells us, that any musibah happens is because of what your own hands have done. And so Ibrahim says, when I fall sick, even though, of course, he knows the sickness is from Allah, but he doesn't ascribe it to Allah. And this is the perfection of one's iman. Whatever musibah happens, this is from my sins. I am the one who deserves this, and I pray that Allah will bless me because of it and forgive me, and Allah will cure me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And this also shows us, and the final point that we mentioned, that the believer does not look forward to calamity. The believer does not want to be sick. sick. But when a calamity happens and when sickness falls, the believer shows his true iman. The Prophet ﷺ said, telling the army before the battle, he told the army before the battle, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. Don't wish to meet the enemy. But if you meet them, then be patient and persevere. We don't wish to be sick. We don't wish for a calamity. But every one of us will fall sick and will face calamities. And we ask Allah for afiyah. We ask Allah for afiyah continuously. So, but when it happens, and inevitably it will happen, loved ones die, we fall sick, calamities happen. Allah says it clearly in the Quran, we're going to test you with good and with evil. When it happens, then we rise up to the challenge and we renew our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we humble and submit ourselves to Him. And through all of this, we appreciate the blessings even in this falling sick and in having the musibah that we have had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who listen to his words of wisdom and then follow the best of it. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tada' lana fi hadha al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة.